Good morning, brothers and sisters. Not sure whether we can say, I know whom I have believed. I wish every one of us can say that. If you have believed, and you can have the joy and assurance as in Him. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you once again. We ask you to use this time to speak to us, and use this time so that we can know your word and know you and know how much you loved us and how much we can be assured before you, and we learn to follow you and keep ourselves in your love. We commit this time to you. We ask you to strengthen us, everyone. We ask you to open our hearts to listen to you. Lord, we ask you to strengthen me. You know I am weak and inadequate, but your word is so good. So use your word to encourage and help us to see you. Take away all the hindrances and set our hearts towards you, so that this time is a time for our heart to meet you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think about what to share, and think about how to engage brother and sister in this time, because I think I'm not a person who knows how to engage other people, but I think of one method to engage. Each time if you come to the meeting or come to the gathering, one thing to help you to engage is to sit in the front. Yeah. But today I won't ask you to come. Do you want to come? Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, just especially for younger one. Sit to the front help you to engage better. The second thing to help us to engage is to pray. Pray for yourself so that the Lord can really use the time to bless you, to help you. And pray for me. So that I can share what I should share. So praying actively, continuously, help us to engage. Because of this engagement, we are in a fellowship. So do pray for yourself and pray for me, please, if you can. Last two times I shared with you on the letter of Jude. This time I would like to finish the remaining part of the letter. So please turn your Bible to the second last book of the Bible, which is Jude. This is only one chapter book. Last two times we share about two main points of it. Today I would like to share the remaining part. One way to look at the whole book is to divide it into four sessions. Verse 1 to verse 3 is the first session, which includes greetings and the letter's purpose, which is the exhortation to God's children to contend for the faith. This is the what. Verse 14 to 19 is the second session, which told us why we need to contend for the faith. It is because of the dangerous ungodly people with corrupted and deceitful hearts creep in unnoticed. Their saying and their lives are corrupting and contaminating the faith of true believers. You know, nowadays there's a lot of untrue believers. They say they are true, but they are not. They pretend to be true, but not. This is the why we need the what preachers contending for the faith, because they are some dangerous, ungodly people. Verse 22, verse 23 is the third session which told us how to contend for the faith. This is the how. The how is the keeping ourselves in God's love. Lastly, verse 24 to 25 is the praise to God who is the real keeper. Let us look at verse 20 to 21. I'm using ESV Bible. For those who use that version, let us read these two verses together. On the screen already. Okay, let us read together. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. While verse 3 in the what session can be regarded as the theme of the book, which is contending for the faith, here, verse 20 to 21 in the how session can be regarded as the key verses of the whole book. The word keep is the main verb of these two verses. Keep yourself in the love of God is the way to contending for the faith. How to keep yourself in the love of God? There are three other describing supportive verbs shown in these two verses. They are the three keys Jude encourages us how to keep ourselves in God's love. Last time, we looked at the first and second keys in verse 20. They are building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, through which we keep ourselves in the love of God. This time, we would like to look at the third key. This is waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. I'm not sure how many people are learning keeping yourselves in God's love. Through building up yourselves in the most holy faith, in God's word, and praying the Holy Spirit. In the last few months as we share Jude. Last time I shared about a young believer. At that time she was in a very difficult time. She told me that due to her hardship, she needed to rely on God every day through praying, even while working and walking. I said to her, learning relying on God and praying is very good, but not enough. I encourage her to find time for God's word. Thank God. The sister has a simple heart. She is willing to listen to the encouragement and put into action. Although she has a very busy daily schedule due to her family hardship, God gives her determination and wisdom to organize her daily life so that she can spend time on Scripture every day. She started from the first book of New Testament, which is Matthew. Last month, she told me that the scripture she came across every day had a lot of parts she didn't quite understand. But there were at least one or two verses every day by which she was encouraged or could relate to. I thank God for her sharing. And for her, I haven't seen her environment and hardship improve while spending time on the scripture. Rather, the surrounding situation I observed has turned even worse. Despite that, I have seen God's grace is with her, and she are gradually growing with her faith in the Lord in the midst of her hardship. How about yourself? Are you learning, knowing God's word, and praying? For those who have been learning, having daily fellowship with God through scripture and praying, in the last couple of months, I'm glad for you and thank God for you. I believe you might have already experienced God's word and His love more through this daily spiritual exercise. The Lord might have already been using the scripture and your prayer to strengthen you, to draw you closer to Him and to speak to you, to comfort you, to train you, to remind you from doing wrong thing, doing something which is unwise or displeasing Him, correcting you, or even rebuke you. If you haven't started this daily exercise, I encourage you to start now. If you started for a while, but now discouraged for some reason, don't give up, but ask God for His merciful help. No matter whether you started and continue, or you started but stopped, or even haven't started yet, you might have already found that we are so needy of His mercy in order to build ourselves up in our most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. It is because we ourselves are very weak, we are changeable, inconsistent, we are easily distracted and wandering away from Him. We are so easily discouraged by our situation, by our hardship. All of us need His mercy. This is why, as Jude encouraged us to keep ourselves in God's love through the third key, which is waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I would like to share now. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is meant by waiting for here? Have you been waiting for something in the past? What kind of waiting you had? Waiting for doing your school assignment? Waiting for here doesn't mean that which is idling or procrastinating. Waiting for here doesn't mean doing nothing, being drifted along by your routine or by the surrounding flow and trend around you. Those kinds of waiting doesn't help you keep yourself in God's love or transforming you. As there's a saying, nothing changes, nothing changes. Waiting for here doesn't mean passive waiting, aimlessness, no direction, no action, but actively look for and hoping for, waiting expectantly. In the New Testament Greek, this waiting for is one compound word formed from two basic words. The first implies motion or direction. The second refers to a deliberate and ready reception. So the compound word waiting for means earnestly waiting for something which you make yourself ready to receive for its coming. Waiting for. What have you been waiting for currently? Are you consciously waiting for His mercy? To keep ourselves in God's love, we need to wait for His mercy. Have we been waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ? Talking about God's mercy, what do you think of? I think of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. If we can, let us read together. The steadfast love, let us read together. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. When I prepare what to share, I think about this verse. Every day, early in the morning, you want a separate time to have fellowship with the Lord through reading the scripture and prayer. You need His mercy to be able to do it, especially winter time is coming. Verse 22 to verse 23 say that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. If you're waiting for His mercy to have you to have fellowship with Him, His mercies are new every morning. Are you waiting for His mercy? Not with passive or idling waiting, but waiting expectantly. If you are, you might try to avoid being drifted by your routine of staying up late with friends or internet, movies, on previous night, which keeps you from going to bed earlier. You may try making yourself ready the night before to receive His mercy the following morning. This is waiting for. A young guy had trouble getting up early each day for a morning quiet time with God. I'm not sure whether this morning when you come, do you have difficulty to get up from your bed? Not sure. I'm not sure whether you have this struggle or not. Or you just routinely wake up and drifted and then come to a meeting. That's why you come late. Or do you have this struggle? We encourage one another. We don't come late. We come early. But this young guy, he had trouble getting up early each day for morning quiet time with God. Then he came to George Mueller to ask him to pray for him. The old Mullah, the old man, replied to him, "Young man, if you will get one leg out of the bed, I will ask the Lord to help you to get the another one out." Are we waiting for the Lord's mercy? Have we set our hearts that having daily personal fellowship time with God is something we want to do, and then actively waiting for the mercy of our Lord to enable us? In Lamentation chapter 3 verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." May the Lord have mercy on us in our daily quiet time with Him. Not only our Lord's mercies are new every morning, His mercies are ready for us any time, including time of our weaknesses and needs. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16, this is the second verses I thought about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16. It says, how about we read it together? As we read, we don't treat it as just normal words. We read, we open our hearts to read, and focus on the words. Chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I know of a sister. Her few years old son had developed a chronic illness. It could be fatal, if not careful. She found it very difficult to look after him, and she worried for him. One night, she stayed late to take care of her son till midnight. She was so tired and sleepy. She nearly couldn't sustain anymore, but she dared not to allow herself to fall asleep, because she needed to be watchful for her son. Then she took out the Bible and read to seek God's mercy. She read on and came to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 to 21. It says, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. Then the sister read on. The following verses 20 and 21 stood out to her and brightened her eyes. He said, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. She knew God spoke to her through these two verses. She was strengthened. She knew God and his word were with her and were in the midst of her hardship and her son's illness. God granted mercy through these two verses to her timely need. These two verses have sustained her for many later years of her son's illness. Jesus indeed is our high priest who can understand each of our situation and empathize with our weaknesses. He in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We can with confidence draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it's said in Hebrew. Everyone who wants to keep himself in God's love has to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because no one can keep himself in God's love by himself. We can only keep ourselves in his love by relying on his mercy. Also, we need to rely on his mercy and grace continuously to the complete realization of our eternal life, which is full salvation of our spirit, our soul, and our body. Whenever we don't sense the need of his mercy and grace, we will fall and can fall very badly. Everyone who can keep themselves in God's love till the end will acknowledge that it is all God's mercy and grace to keep them in God's love. They will be very convinced that it is not themselves, but God Himself. The more we keep ourselves in God's love, the more we want to help our brothers to keep themselves in God's love. As said in Jude chapter 1 in verse 22 and 23. He said, "And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." The more we experience and know God's mercy, the more we will have a merciful heart towards others, including those who doubt. Sometimes we show mercy to those who are in danger, as if in the fire, such that we need to snatch them out of fire urgently. Sometimes when we have mercy, we need to show mercy in fear, fearing of condoning or being contaminated by the sin of the person we want to help. We need to have God's righteousness and strong in faith to hate even the garments being involved in his fleshly or lustful deeds, but not normalize sin or desensitize ourselves towards it. So sometimes, if we want to help some people, they are in sin. Sometimes we need to have a fearful heart, or ask someone who are stronger in faith to help. Now we come to the last part of the book, where Jude ended with praising God in verse 24 to 25. It says, how about let us read together as well. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." In this worship and praise, Jude explicitly describe God as the one who is able to keep you. Who are the you here? They are the Christian recipients of the letter. The description of God here echoes the greeting at the start of the letter in verse 1. It said, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brothers of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." Here Jude described that Christian recipients are the ones beloved in God the Father and kept by God for Jesus. Therefore, Jude clearly said at the start and at the end of the letter that they are kept by God who is able to keep them. On the other hand, the Christian recipients are asked to keep themselves in God's love. So, God keeps them or they keep themselves? Which one? Are these two statements conflicting with one another? God keeps them, or they keep themselves. If God keeps you in His love, why do you need to keep yourself in His love? Can they be consistently true? Yes. God keeps you through your keeping yourself in His love. The way God keeps you is using the way you keep yourself in God's love. He wants you to co-work with Him. Because love is not one side thing. Husband and wife, the husband can't keep the wife in his love without the love co-working. The love of his wife co-working. God wants you, wants us, everyone belong to Him, co-works with Him. This is the co-working of God's will and man's responsibility. Not only this, since I know God is the one who has now made me to be His beloved and decided to keep me, I now should be able to keep myself in His love. If you have believed in Jesus and receive Him as Savior and Lord, God has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of His beloved Son. You have been transferred into Himself and His love. You have a new life from God and become His child. That means He has decided to keep you in His love. Not only He saved us and gave us eternal life once, the mercy of Jesus enables us to continue to keep ourselves in His love. God is the keeper. He called, He loves, and He keeps. God never fails. He will succeed in the will He wants to accomplish. So this gives Christians a secure assurance. So my main point today is to encourage one another. Keep yourself in God's love. And the Holy Spirit is here to help you, to enable you. God has given each of His children three keys. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not converted, you don't have these three keys to keep yourself in God's love. But for each of His children, those converted, those Christians, He has given them new life. This new life enable them to desire of the spiritual milk, the Word of God. This new life enable them to pray to God and call Him Abba Father. God's mercy is ready for you all the time, including time in need and weakness. We have God. We don't need to be miserable and feel discouraged all the time. We can acknowledge that our old self is bad, is sinful, and powerless. Yet, we can go to Him and repent and distrust our old bad self. But to trust Him, trust our God, and entrust ourselves to Him, so that the Holy Spirit can teach us bit by bit, how to live, how to build ourselves in our most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit. Do this by the new life we receive. God is the one who called, who loves, and He who keeps.
we have God. So who can separate us from His love? He will succeed in transforming us to the likeness of His beloved Son. He can transform our soul. He can transform our mind, our sentiment, and will. He can. He will do it for each of His true children. Everyone, every believer, once we believe in the Lord set a path for us to walk in. Set a race for us to run. Everyone's path is different. Everyone's situation is different. But everyone can experience different grace of the same God in different aspects. We don't know what lesson or what the Lord wants us to mature in this life. But the Lord wants us to be faithful. He has sufficient grace for us to walk the path He set for us. So that one day, no matter whether how successful or failure we are before the world, before other people, as long as we are faithful to walk the path the Lord gives us to walk, to learn the lesson the Lord wants us to learn, to face the challenge the Lord wants us to overcome. Everyone is different, but He requires faithfulness. And then He can say to us, faithful and good servant, you can come to enjoy the joy of your master. But sometimes it costs. As we walk, it costs us. It costs our pride, our faith. It costs us to be humble, to seek help from some people. It costs us to humble before the Lord, to pray and ask. But He can help. And He wants to help. We have God. Who can separate us from His love? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? May the word of God speak to our hearts, impress in our hearts, so then today we can go to Him and entrust ourselves to Him again and walk the path for today and tomorrow and onward faithfully. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful grace. We thank You for Your wonderful plan and will for us, for those people that are willing to believe in You. Lord, we ask You, the Holy Spirit, to impress Your own word in our hearts, so that the word written in the Scripture is not only the word on paper, but may You reveal Yourself through Your word in our hearts, so that this word is the word today feeding us. We thank you for your everlasting love and your unrevocable, unchanging, never repenting calling. We thank you and praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow on, we will have time to remember.